800-222-5222. It's time now to go out to Dr. Tyrone Howard. Dr. Howard, welcome to the program. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
So this article is about how we do not necessarily talk to – educators do not talk about race, and apparently most everyone is guilty of that to some degree or another. What was your assessment, and what's the answer?
So my assessment is that we are one of the most racially diverse countries in the world, but by and large, when it comes to education, we tend to shy away from topics that are race-related because we're oftentimes unsure, or we're afraid, or we're just reluctant to engage in these conversations because race can be volatile. But the events of Charlottesville last week really provided, a really teachable moment to engage in that conversation. And so I think when these types of situations arise, educators need to take it and run with it and really help students make sense out of what can be some very complicated and complex issues involving race, because that's who we are as a nation.
You know what? It's interesting. It seems so obvious that we should be discussing this, that there must be a reason we're not. So other than it's uncomfortable, I wonder if this is some sort of historical, I don't want to say whitewashing so much as a myth, that we're a place where people come and doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, you can succeed here. And we cling to that myth and then deny the reality. Do you think some of that's at play here?
Absolutely. That's pretty much spot on. I think we as a nation, we live by a set of principles and ideals that are about equality and fairness and justice. And that's sort of weaved into the American narrative, the American fabric of who we are. But then when we start talking about race, all of a sudden there's a contradiction there, because we see that certain racial and ethnic groups have not had those same opportunities as, say, some of their white counterparts. And that doesn't fly with the narrative we want to have our young people believe. And so if we want our young people to buy into democracy and all the ideas that come with it, how do we do that, but yet talk about certain advantages and privileges that certain groups had that other groups have not had?
Well, when you talk about contradiction, I think you're absolutely right. I think contradiction, or sort of incongruencies in our history and our sense of ourselves, is what is at issue here. And you mentioned in your article a big one, which is, and I think is not discussed, or that sort of actively avoided, which is the complexities of our heritage with slavery and both the fact of it and also our political heritage with it.
Yeah, so this is the big elephant in the room, and slavery is one of those topics that I think many Americans are really not comfortable discussing, because it was horrific, and it was shameful, and it was awful, and it was painful, and it was tragic, and we want to put that behind us, and we want to think that we're better. In a lot of ways, we are better as a nation, but we still haven't made complete amends for what that did in terms of economic advantages, what it meant for political advantages, what it meant for all kinds of opportunities that some groups had that other groups did not have. And so I think we still, 160 some odd years post-slavery, have not come to grips with what that meant for this nation, even in contemporary times. And I think some folks would rather, let's say, forget about it. It happened. There's nothing I can do about it. Whereas other folks said, you need to acknowledge that there were some things that you still benefit from today because of slavery.
Well, the benefiting, it's hard for a lot of people to see that, but I'm just thinking about the why we push it down. And it just occurred to me, the Charlottesville thing, of course, brought this all up, right? And the remnants of that civilization that perpetrated these horrible acts are what were really the symbols of that civilization, what were at issue. And I'm just thinking to myself, most people that live in this country were either part of the Union or immigrants later, and sort of feel like, well, that was taken care of. We took care of that. That's over. It's done. We've got them, and that's it. And we don't, what I mean? Which is still part of that sort of simplistic mythological look at these things, right? Rather than saying, no, this is something that happened. It's amongst us, and it reverberates still. Let's talk about it. Would you agree?
I completely agree. And that's the hard part, because while there are those folks who feel like, okay, if you sided with the Union, or if you were sympathetic of the Union's cause, and we won and we moved on and we're better because of it. But then there are those folks who are sympathetic to the Confederate cause and believe that they fought and they were Americans and they believed in a set of values and core ideals, and those should be remembered and those should be honored and those should not be dismissed or wiped off the history map. So those folks would make a compelling argument from their standpoint that we should not erase this part of our history. But there are folks who think, well, wait a minute, but what did it symbolize? What did
it represent? Yeah, erasing is one thing, but rallying under the symbols is another. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying. So let's talk about some of these other things educators should do. It makes me wonder, also, you know, educators are in such horrible positions these days. And usually when they're unable or unwilling to do something, it's not because they don't want to. It's often because there's no legal sort of safeguards for them to do so, or they know the parent groups will erupt in some unforeseen way. Do we need to plan for that, too, to help educators be able to execute these recommendations you're making?
Of course, it's complicated because you're right. I mean, teachers are placed in this real political sort of bind, if you will, because they can't oftentimes do right either way. If they avoid it altogether, there's folks who think they should, you know, do more, like myself. On the flip side, there are teachers who do talk about this, and they find themselves oftentimes being called to the office by administrators saying, well, you got to be careful because that's not always reflective of certain students or certain families' beliefs and what they want to have said to their children. Some parents get upset because they feel like that's not the job of teachers to engage them around these conversations because they're not parents, and so you should just stick to the teaching part of this work. So it's a real bind, and because of that bind, a lot of teachers just opt out altogether. And I'm just asking teachers to be a little bit more courageous, to be able to engage in methods of inquiry, just to pose questions, just to share multiple perspectives, just to have students begin to come to their own conclusions. The goal here is not to tell students what to think, but it's to get them to think critically, to analyze information, to begin to discern, make judgments about the kinds of things that they see happening in our society. We should be embracing our racial ethnic diversity. We should be proud of it. We should be building on it. But when we can't even talk about it, we can't recognize all that it has to offer.